today on CityCast Denver. Depending on where you are, walking can be a precarious experience. It's something that Jonathan Stahls thinks about a lot. He's literally walked across the country, but it's his everyday interactions with dangerous intersections and broken sidewalks right here in the city that fuel his life's work and his TikTok account called Pedestrian Dignity. His new book, Walk, is a deeply personal story about why something as simple as walking means so much to him. And just a note, this episode includes discussion of suicide, so please take care. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Jonathan Stahls, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you. Grateful to be here.
So you're the walking guy. Like, you're kind of famous for it. And you've written this whole book about walking. But I want to know, Jonathan, why do you walk?
Oh my gosh. So many reasons. Thank you for the question. It's my main form of medicine. You know, in 2010, I did a walk across the U.S. This was kind of my entry into a lot of personal healing and recalibrating everything for my own life. And so to move at that pace every day for 8.5 months, it just became medicine. It became my mental health. It became the most trusted way of seeing the world around me and moving with other people shoulder to shoulder. I kind of fumbled into it. And now it's my practice. It's my main form of connection. It's one of my greatest teachers, just related to built environment and nature and all the things. So it is medicine. It is every day. It is me.
It's you.
Yeah, it really is.
So was there like a defining moment for you in your life? Or I'm just thinking, like, you know, I've gotten into exercise, or some folks get really into riding their bike, but why, what brought you to walking?
Yeah. You know, it really was the long distance walk. You know, I was going through a lot of hard things, personal things. I was coming out as gay queer. That was extremely difficult for me. And I'm a very sensitive person. I feel things deeply, all the things. And I just needed an experience that would, that would jumpstart and recalibrate. I wanted to shed stories that weren't helpful, and I didn't really know what that looked like. I never had backpacking experience. I never had long distance walking experience. I didn't really move much as a pedestrian growing up. And so, you know, I stumbled across a book called Walk Across America by Peter Jenkins in a Metro State Library book sale. It was 20 cents. I had a lot of tests that day, and I canceled all my classes. That book was speaking loudly to me. I sat in a dirty chair and read it in 2 days. I cried. I was a mess tearing through the pages. And so that context and container for walking across the country was like, this is it. This is it. I'm terrified. I don't know where I'll sleep. I don't know where I'm going to go. But there were all these things related to moving in an unhurried way, not passing through things quickly, meeting strangers, going through the challenges of not knowing where to sleep and how to navigate different spaces, moving through the desert. All of that there was something about it that was unhurried and calm. It didn't feel like aggressive, but it was also terrifying. So that combination of moving through spaces in an unhurried way, but also kind of daily challenging, my capacity for the unknown, and all of that was a coming together around the cross-country walk. And so it really was that walk. It was 242 days of walking with hundreds of people. I stayed with 120 strangers, 14 states, 15 to 20 miles a day of moving through villages and towns and cities. And
were you scared ever? I'm just thinking about walking into somewhere I don't know, or like, and then not having like a way to get out, or I don't know, or a thunderstorm or something, or like you're saying, be on the side of a highway. I mean,
yeah.
How did you? this is blowing my mind.
Yeah, terrified a lot. And because I talk about, there's a great quote in another walking book by Rebecca Solnit, and she says, So often, so many of us, for a lot of reasons, go from one interior to the next, one interior to the next, the building to the car, to the building to the car. And I resonated with that. That was most of my childhood and upbringing. And there was just something about that, that I wanted to disrupt. So I knew going into it, it would be terrifying. And I think I felt, I wouldn't have had all the words for it, but I felt like you heard the term rite of passage a lot. And I was like, I have to shed some things, some really the harmful stories that I would tell myself for being gay or being queer or being an artist or being sensitive. I moved every 2 years as a kid. So it was just a chaotic upbringing in a lot of ways. Still a good one, but a chaotic one.
I love this idea too of internal stability you gained from moving around.
Big
you know?
Time.
Like after being in a situation where you couldn't, obviously when you're a child, you can't control the things like moving every couple of years because that's up to the adults in your life.
Right.
But then you found this way to stabilize yourself internally by being in charge of moving around the world.
Yes. That's such I share a lot about that throughout the book because it's the physical, biological benefits, the things in the neural network, the things that happen in the heart and in the body and in the mind are profound. What happens in central brain when we move? We actively shed unhelpful, blocked, stressful stories, things that weigh us down, things that block our creativity, things that position us in our posturing of sides and opinions and any ideas of certainty that we have. Like there's things that literally, and you can picture it a little bit. We're in a lot of 90 degree walls. We're sitting in chairs a lot of the time.
The box that we're sitting in right now.
The screens, we're all a part of it. I'm a part of it. It's not a, you know, better or worse than thing, but just being really honest about the environments that we're in. But then related to how our bodies are made to literally be moving and shedding dead skin, shedding unhelpful thoughts and stories. And then add that with all the neuroscience related to after 20, 30 minutes of walking, and very specifically to walking because it's so regulated, our breathing, what happens in the circulatory system. But we actively add new neural pathways. After 20 to 30 minutes, we form new neural pathways. If I could just repeat that. For all of us, like we form new neural pathways for thinking about complex social, political, relational, personal, inner things.
Yeah.
And it's something that I care so much about because I just experience it all the time. So to have 8.5 months really uninterrupted from that medicine, it was profound for me. Yeah.
It changed the direction of your life.
It did. Totally did. Yeah.
This is so interesting. I just decided this week I'm going to get up every morning and walk my dog in the morning to try to get my brain going. Like,
right.
And now I'm like, okay, now I'm feeling confirmed in this decision because otherwise I sit down at a computer the minute I wake up and like, you're right. How do we function if we're not like getting things moving just like
That's
mentally?
Right.
I love that.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Bree Davies, host of CityCast Denver. Growing up in Denver, it took me a while to find my place in the city. I wanted to understand our city's politics better and how they impacted things like the arts community, which is where my heart is. That's why the mission of CityCast Denver speaks to me. We spend all day, every day, finding the most compelling stories, the most exciting people, and the best insider recommendations so you can make the most of the city and also make the city better. Members of CityCast Denver make that possible, and we could not keep doing this work without you. Become a member of CityCast Denver today at membership.citycast.fm and get exclusive perks like ad-free listening, event invites, and members-only updates. That's membership.citycast.fm. Thanks. In the introduction to your book, you describe a dark time in your life, and
you feel that it was actually turned around by walking. Could you share that story?
Yeah, I growing up, every 2 years, I moved into new schools. And so I was a new student 12 different times. And mm-hmm. so that was up until the middle of high school. So I, you know, in my name, it's funny, adults don't really catch this, but Jonathan Stalls. So I would often get called the first day of school, bathroom boy, John or the Stalls.
Oh,
these are just silly
I'm
things,
sorry.
But as kids, it's
God,
a big deal, right?
Kids
it's
are
a big
so
deal,
mean
y'all.
Sometimes.
It's, we can just be mean. So that was heavy and weird and intense, but not, you know, a huge deal. And, but that on top of being really sensitive, being really constantly having to, you know, try and fit in and make new friends. But being gay and queer was really difficult. And it wasn't until my early mid-20s that it started to just kind of get loud and disruptive. It was ready to blow. And I have a lot of, there's a long lineage of suicide in my family. So my grandmother gosh. And my two of my uncles and just different things like we have, it's just, so all of a sudden as things got really hard for me that all I was like, well, that's what we got to do. That's how this has to go. And it was about 6 months of being in the darkest, yeah. you know, those dark times where you don't, you know, you're literally believing the stories and the lies that you kind of absorb around you or internally. And so crawling out of that, the dedication in the book is to the wind and the trees, you know, for saving my life, because I was my attempt was often next to high busy roadways, and I would just stand there in the middle of the night and I would say, okay, step in front and end this. It's too hard. I don't know who to go. I had nobody to go to, or at least that's how it felt.
Yeah.
I'll just never forget the one time in particular where I followed the sound of the wind in the trees, and I found myself walking and away from the road. And that was really the time where I started to like catch glimpses of, you know, just holding on and taking things a day at a time. And that was the start of just like this, my teachers, my life, the way I move through the world has to change. Things have to change. They have to change. If I'm gonna survive this,
yeah.
they have to change. And then that led up to a series of things that you know resulted in doing the long walk, because I just wanted something that would cement this, you know, not perfectly. I'm a hot mess a lot of the time. Y'all, I walk and I have a smartphone under trees and I'm tweeting, let's be real, like I'm a hot mess. It's not just all peace and good. I'm behind the screens. I sit in walls all the time. I get rides in cars. This is not, but like, the medicine of moving and walking helped yeah. me find a way into a family of teachers that are trees and sky and strangers and birds and water systems and different communities and backgrounds from different perspectives. And there were a lot of other things I attached to the long walk, but it was personal healing and in its deepest way. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you.
And yeah. I'm glad that you had that moment, because a lot of us don't. And that's yeah. when we lose people.
Yep.
I've been in that place myself. I've mm-hmm. had that moment where I thought the world would be a lot better if I yes. wasn't taking up space. And I have to yes. say, I came to it 2 years into sobriety when like things are supposed to be good, right? You're getting right. your life together, but that's when you're really facing your shit.
Oh my God.
And I dove headfirst into exercise a little bit mm-hmm. differently, but I look at those moments and I think, thank God the wind blew. Yeah. Thank God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's amazing. I want to kind of bring this back to Denver. So
sure.
Denver is sort of, we're notorious for our car culture. And I wonder, how are you convincing people in Denver to walk more?
Oof.
Are you?
Well, one of the things I'm always sharing pretty much when I go live on TikTok and I'm moving with different people or in the videos or in the text, I'm very intentional about, this is not car shaming. This is not getting rid of cars. This is not, that's not what this is. I use the terminology a lot, decentering, and specifically decentering the single occupant personal vehicle. as a strategy for reimagining and recalibrating how we see transportation and our investment into it. The hard part is that we don't often have yet the engineering that makes for those that do drive to just all of a sudden replace their trips. You know, thinking about our transit and transit frequency and transit access and safety. And a lot of people will ask, well, is Denver a walkable city, or what's the most walkable city for you? And I get it all the time. And I'm like, y'all, check out, like, I invite people to base the walkability or rollability. Mm-hmm. Based on these arterial networks, the arterial roads, which are the larger commercial.
They're the big strips, the Colorado Boulevards, yes. The Federal Boulevards.
Yes. Yeah. The Alamedas, the Sheridans, the ones that, and especially in Denver, we're far from, you know, walkability, rollability, when we really look at the networks where most of the people who live here and work here and who've grown up here live. And I would just say that, yes, there are things that I'm seeing where people are replacing some of their trips. They're trying more transit. They're trying to break up their car trips. And we're all trying to get creative, you know, with our network and just how to encourage it. But it's hard when the engineering isn't.
When you're fighting against a bigger system that already exists.
Yeah. When it's really hard to do day to day, get to work, get to the appointment. It's not an easy transition. And so it's just constantly experimenting.
Is there somewhere in Denver that you love to walk? Mm. Like that feels good, or like, that, you know what I mean? Like really fits all of the things that you love about walking.
Oh my gosh.
Or a neighborhood, or a, you know what I mean? A strip, a particular area.
I mean, I obviously love our park system here.
Right. It's
like,
phenomenal.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Our park system is so great. You know, like I could go on and on about access to the parks, but the positive side of things is, you know, I love our parks. I love how they bring people together. And usually a lot of the parks will have wider, spacious walkway rollways once you're inside of them. The Union Station area, just the plaza in front of it is positive.
Yeah.
Like it's hard when we think about, again, I think public restrooms and like the larger public story of feeling safe and connected and integrating all that. But just from like a built environment plaza standpoint, like to sit there and watch kids and families run through those fountains and relax and slow it down, and you don't have the noise of cars kind of everywhere around you. I love that. I go there a lot. I really like, you know, parts of the Platte River that connect, and some of the work that's being done to improve the Platte River Park is great.
Yeah.
So we do have some good things.
Yeah.
Those we got some good things.
Jonathan Stalls, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Bree.
And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Recently released body camera footage of the June shooting of Christian Glass has his family and the public asking why. Why was the 22-year-old shot by Clear Creek County Police after he made a 911 call asking for help getting his car unstuck outside Silver Plume? CPR reports that there was speculation that Glass was having a mental health crisis, but there are still no answers as to why it ended in his death. Glass's parents have announced that they intend to sue the responding agencies. And we've got another name to potentially add to the 2023 mayor's race. The one, the only, Valentes Corleones. Yes, that Valentes Corleones. You know, the guy who ran into hot water with the city over how his club, Beta, was operating in Lodo. The first thing he would do as mayor? Corleones told Westward he would change the hours that nightclubs and bars close from 2 a.m. to 4 or 6 a.m., an idea that's already been floating around as a possible solution to Lodo's let-out problems. We'll see how serious the nightclub kingpin is about his bid when and if he actually files the proper mayoral paperwork. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell my best friend David, who doesn't listen to this show, about us. Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See ya! See ya.
That was so creepy.
See you later. Let me try that again.